This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, with the men that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make them need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And April the 5th, 2022, a day that will go down is a wonderful morning. We say good morning on DPHRO and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN. Well, it happened. Carolina was right there. They could taste the national championship. They had a bad regular season, lost to Virginia Tech in the ACC tournament, and somehow got red hot, beat Baylor, stopped the dream for St. Peter's, beat Duke. The magical run was only 20 minutes away, and they could not put a finish to it. Not the big bow. No. Falling apart in the second half. Carolina loses. Kansas wins for the fourth ever time. We have a lot to do today. We say good morning to Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. All right, so let's get this straight because the people want to know.
Yeah. And,
whoever wasn't following you on Twitter, did Alex get to watch the game last night?
Absolutely.
Of course. How did he find out he was getting to watch the game?
So it became very tense. He was very upset. And I picked him up from school, as I always do. And he gets in the car and he's staring at me. I'm like, what's the matter? He says, it's not fair. Everyone thinks I should be able to watch the game. I said, everybody but me. I said, you can't watch it. It's not okay. You're only 11. You can't stay up till almost midnight. It's not going to happen. All afternoon. It's not fair. Why are you doing this? I get all A's in school. I'm always up the next morning. Blah, blah, blah. I should be able to watch it. I said, that's great that you think that, but you can't. Unfortunately, you can't. And this continues all the way through. We're eating dinner. And every time I take a bite of my salad, I look up. He's glaring at me. I said, what's the matter? I should be able to watch the game. Oh, I said, Alex, we got to stop. Glaring at me. I'm not exaggerating. Glaring at me. And then he starts to, like, angrily, it's funny, he's angrily, like, taking a bite of his bread. And he's just, he's angrily, like, ripping, you know, bread apart and eating. I'm like, oh, my God. So this continues. I should be able to watch. I said, listen, if you continue this, I'm not going to let you watch any of it. I should be able to watch the whole thing, and I don't ask for much, and what do you guys even do for me, and blah, 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 right? So finally, and the entire time, of course, what do you think? I wasn't going to let him watch the game? If anybody was going to let him watch the game, it was me. But I think in my own deranged mind, and I don't know that this was a terrible take, that if I allow him to think the entire way that he can't watch the game, then in the 11th hour, swoop in and say, oh, yeah, you know what? You are allowed to watch the game. Of course you are. That he won't be as savage and crazed because he'll feel like he's getting the call, you know, at 11th hour if he's not like a death row inmate, right? So
this is like the coach that thinks his goalie gets a little bit too amped up when he knows he's going to play. So rather than tell him night before, shows up at the rink, hey, by the way, you're starting tonight. So he's calmer. He's not as worked up.
Yeah, maybe. I think that might be a good analogy. So I tweet out, I don't know if you saw this, I don't know how much of the game you actually stayed up for. I tweeted at about 9, I don't know, I guess around 9:10. And by the way, can we start the game earlier, please?
It's too late.
We got to go through a 25-minute, you know, once they start the actual coverage, a 25-minute, I think like a 7-minute anthem, they got to go through everybody's starting lineup for 5 minutes. Can we start the game earlier, please? But that's a conversation.
Can you imagine being a player on that? I mean, could you imagine being one of these kids?
No. You're going to sit around for 21 hours during the course of the day? So at about 10 after 9, maybe even quarter after 9, I tweet out, of course. Of course I'm going to let him watch the game. What kind of animal do you think I am? And I start to get a ton of really nice tweets in return. You're a great dad. Good for you. Right move. This is exactly what you should be doing. So I said to him, I said, Alex, I'm getting so many nice tweets. He says, why are you getting so many nice tweets? I said, I can't really figure it out. Why don't you look? I guess look at the top tweet and then you can see all the responses. So he reads the top tweet, which is me saying, obviously the kid's going to watch the game. and whatever. And he reads that, and he's like, oh, I can watch the game. He comes over, big hug. He's so excited, jumping around. You should see him. He's standing there. He's like, right, singing, dancing, jumping jacks, the whole thing. And Sherry goes, she goes, I wish you would play lacrosse like this, like your life depended on it. So the whole idea, the whole premise that me allowing him 11th hour to think he's not watching and swoop in and say he's watching and maybe it won't upset him as much, no, that did not happen. Because I actually feel badly this morning. Now, what happened had to happen. I can't have Carolina win because that just doesn't work. It's just an awful thing for me in my life. But this kid, heartbroken. I mean, sobbing, tears running down his face. You know, head goes inside the shirt. You can see the body visibly shaking. It's like, it's terrible. It is terrible. And finally, he was just defeated. Ben, who wasn't home for the game against Duke, was home. And every chance he gets to needle Alex, just as the older brother, just needling him endlessly, needlessly, some might say. And the kid went to bed at about midnight. And Sherry had to go in and kind of, you know, play that mom role of, the sun will come up tomorrow and you're going to be okay. But it was a wild, wild night.
What a roller coaster of emotions for him. For North Carolina fans, period. I know I said yesterday, like, they beat Duke. So, I mean, if they lost to Kansas, no, not like that. Not like that.
Because they had the game.
Had the game. Do you understand what the record or teams in men's college basketball when trailing by 15 plus points, 15 or more points, the half is?
What's the number?
Well, first of all, North Carolina in the last 25 seasons.
That I saw. Okay. They're like 146-0 when leading by 15 or more at the half, right?
161-0. So teams that were trailing by 15 plus at the half were 8-452.
8-452. I mean, you're looking at like less than 1% to happen.
8-452.
Oh my God! Yeah, and you know what the amazing thing was? Because Kansas, in retrospect now, could not have played a worse first half of basketball. No. They're missing layups. They're turning the ball over. They're missing threes. Like, you thought to yourself, how in the world are they possibly going to score enough points to win this game? It's like 6 minutes into the second half. I think it's a 1-point game.
Yeah, I mean, they came out a different team in the second half. And at some point, I thought that UNC was going to get worn down just because of what happened with that Duke game and everything else. Yeah, I give Baycott tons of credit, man. He's a warrior. He battled.
And then Caleb Love, too.
He was bad. Yeah, Caleb Love, too, but he wasn't. I mean, that his decision to take that 3-2 on their
the final possession?
Yeah, it was their second to last possession. That deep three he took, they end up getting the rebound, and Manek throws it out of bounds. Two rebounds, actually, and Manek throws it out of bounds. But it was like, I don't know if I agree with that decision because he wasn't shooting the ball well at all. But this is what Kansas did, I mean, this tournament, man. Second halves of these games, they come out. And I thought Remy Martin was big in the second half.
He's got an ugly-looking shot, huh?
It's not great, but no. I mean, give them credit, man, because they could have just folded up. 15 at the half. They played awful in the first half, but
and they were so bad from the foul line. The guy's name that I can't pronounce. He's missing shot after shot.
Abaji.
Oh, is it Abaji?
Abaji.
Yeah, I mean he's missing all these. He gets fouled on a three. He misses two of three. Then he gets fouled going up for a shot. He misses those two. Like, it was startling how bad their foul shooting was.
Well, yeah, and they got destroyed on the boards, too. I mean, especially in that first half, offensive rebound, second chance points. But you saw what they did, though, right? We talked about this yesterday with the whole Duke thing. Why didn't they go with Banchero down low? As soon as Baycott went out with that ankle when he slipped.
Oh, my God. McCormick on Manek.
Right, immediately.
Oh, they couldn't defend that. Well, that's the Achilles heel of Carolina all year, is Manek is just not a good – he can't defend these elite offensive players. And McCormick is just way bigger than him. He got great position down low. And then against Banchero, he couldn't do it either. But I don't think Duke took full advantage, and Kansas did.
Yeah, Kansas did. But, I mean, you said it. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at some of the stuff I wrote down yesterday. Kansas made three shots in the final 10.5 of the first half. Three shots in the final 10.5 of that first half. It couldn't have been any worse for them. In the first half.
No. And I don't know if you saw halftime, but Kenny Smith was like, Kansas, they can't come back. is that Carolina scores too well. Unless they turn the ball over at a record pace, there's no way Kansas can come back. And I mean, 5 minutes in, this, you're like, oh, this is a game.
Yeah, which was, again, and Bill Self talked about it. I mean, he's like, let's just, you know, chip away at this thing and then we'll see what happens. And that's exactly what they did. But, I mean, to get outscored 47-29 there in the second half, I mean, I gave you the numbers as far as teams, you know, coming back from 15 down at halftime. It's virtually impossible, but that's why I take what I said yesterday and you can throw it right out the window.
Yeah, no, that's all. If you're a Carolina fan.
Oh, my God.
So you say stuff like that because you're not in the heat of the moment, right? Like, yeah, you beat all these teams. You beat Baylor. Great win. And then you beat Duke. Obviously, you know, you end Coach K's run. You beat them in Cameron. You beat them in the Final Four. They'll never get, you know, never be able to duplicate that or have that level of victory again. And anything else is gravy. Yeah, you might have said that. You and a lot of people might have said that. When you're in the heat of the moment of a championship game and you lead by 15 and you now are the title holder for biggest, I guess, collapse from halftime on in the history of the NCAA championship, that's a rough way to end the season.
Yeah, that's one of those, like, just, I mean, again, not every loss is the same, not every win is the same, so it's just how things unfold sometimes, and that's just, like you mentioned now, to have that as the largest, now the largest comeback in a championship game, that stinks, man.
Oh, it's and that's the way
you're reading
your
some season. Of the text. I'm reading some of the text messages this morning from the group chat, and everyone's like, oh, look, you know, North Carolina, big win. I'm like, oh, they must have won because I watched the first half.
Well, that was RJ. That was RJ. See, I hate when people do that. Game over. Good night.
Good night. Sleep tight. And then I woke up this morning.
So, RJ, there's no way. The halftime, you were all snug in your bed. There's no way you watched the second half of that game.
Yeah, that was actually bedtime for me. That wasn't an exaggeration in any way.
No, but you said, like, good night, Kansas.
Yeah, but I had nothing on it. Yeah,
no, I understand.
You're invested.
But why would you do that though?
Because I don't. It didn't bother me that who won. I didn't care.
You did it for you, Dave.
Yeah, I didn't care. You. I didn't care who won. It was a great first half.
But you pronounced the game as over. You going to bed at halftime is not the end of the world. I understand you wake up at 2 a.m. You're exhausted. That makes perfect sense to me. For you to announce that the game is over, here's what you said: good game, Kansas. Better luck next year.
Yeah, but there's no repercussion for my actions.
But you went into the face of the sports gods and spit right in it. How could you do that?
But you act like there's a price to pay for what I said. It doesn't matter.
I don't know, man. I mean, that kind of stuff is that's going to wind up haunting you.
I don't think so.
Why would it haunt RJ? I mean, he did you a solid.
So that was for me?
Yeah, that was a little, let's make sure Dave's in a good mood tomorrow. So we'll pronounce this game dead. I'll walk up to the sports gods and just hock a loogie right in their face.
I mean, right, you got deep. You really went right into the bowels there. A
All
big phlegmy loogie.
Oh, right in their face.
Right in
and
their face. They're like,
you.
And they were like, oh, over. We'll show you,
we'll
over.
Show you over. Now your poor son is crushed.
Oh, my God.
How bad is that for him, too? He's got to wake up and go to school now. Oh.
So now he's going to be exhausted. But you know what? I got a lot of this. I never heard of this before. Apparently, it's called a sports hangover. Have you heard that term?
No.
No. So a lot of tweets I got last night, oh, poor kid, he's going to have a terrible sports hangover. But you know what? You want to be one of these savage fans? You want to be a Carolina, you know, just a apologist, and you adore them, and they can do no wrong, and you stand by them thick and thin? This is part of the territory.
This is it's a good learning lesson for him. This is what you want. I gave you what you wanted. Now you're going to live with it.
Exactly. You got to stay up. You watch the whole game. You got very little sleep. I'm sure you didn't sleep well. I mean, I'm sure he has one of those nights where every time you turn over and you like think about real life, you're like, oh, my God, I have to deal with that. And he's going to be up. He's going to be at school. I get a lot of tweets. Let him stay home. No, no, no. He's not staying home. He's getting up. He's going to school. He's going to go about his day. And he's going to have to deal with the repercussions of being a fan of a team. This is real life now.
This is what happens when you want to burn it at both ends, man.
That's right.
You should tell the young guys on the team, you want to go out, have a couple of drinks, have a good night. We better show up the next day ready for practice. That's how it works.
It's exactly. I mean, night guy, he's the best, right? Like, the morning will never show up, but then he goes to bed late, wakes up this morning, and this is what you have to deal with.
That's the worst, though. I can't even imagine being one of the kids on that North Carolina team right now.
Oh, my God. I mean, Love's got the sprained ankle.
Puff Johnson's got a cook, and then all of a sudden he gets hit in the stomach. He's puking on the floor.
Well, that's Alex is screaming at him. He's like, he's vomiting! He's vomiting! the kid is completely out of control. We joke, and it's funny, or whatever, and Sherry's like, he's you. You've created a you, and you hate it.
He's a clone. He'll remember this for the rest of his life, though.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way he forgets this one.
Do I get good dad points at least that I let him stay up for the game?
No, I'm not going to give you good dad points because that's what you should have done. I don't know why I had to mess with him for 2 days.
I felt like the right thing to do.
No, it's not the right thing to do because what you were doing was punishing him for UNC beating Duke is what you were doing.
I thought I was setting it up that when I allowed him to watch, he wouldn't go as insane.
Yeah, right.
And that was out the window 10 minutes in. Insane. Just crazy. So,
what was
right.
he like during the 16-0 run? Was he losing his mind?
Oh, he was crying. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, there were tears streaming down his face. He was crying. And then Carolina falls behind by six. And then they did it all the time. They hit two shots, and then they hit a three to tie it. And then they're tied. I'm like, how the game is tied, and you have tears on your face? Like, come on, man. Like,
the range of emotion for him yesterday. He hated you all day at school. Gets in the car, mean mugs you. Mean mugs you at dinner. Finally, you let him read the tweets. He's
mean mugs.
All right, well, I'm watching. Fired up. Team just comes out. Actually, Kansas came out to a good start, too. But
7-0, yeah.
UNC up 15 at the half. Okay, we won the national championship. Second half happens.
Yeah, oh, ripped away.
I can only imagine.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is what he's dancing around to as the game's about to start. Singing it, jumping. It's a wild maniac.
Yeah, your plan didn't work.
Nope. Not even. Oh, I tried. I thought there was a chance. You should, the public outcry for him, though. Everywhere I went yesterday, I'm getting texts from people. Everywhere I went in town, like, you got to let him watch. How can you not let him watch? What's the matter with you?
You had to let him watch. You had to. He deserved it. I mean, if Duke would have won, you would have let him stay up to watch it.
That's what he kept saying.
He would have chose not to. But this is your fault from the start, man. I mean, you made him a Giants fan. I mean, you made him a Mets fan. You've made him a Rangers fan. Like, I mean, I don't understand how you let this slip through the cracks. I don't get it.
Well, I guess I didn't. I wasn't concerned that this would possibly happen because I didn't want to make him a Georgetown fan. I figured let him choose his own college basketball team. That's fine. Like, the Giants is a non-option. Like, if you want to get fed and all that and clothed and live under our roof, then you have to root for the Giants. Rangers, he jumped on board, loves them. Mets, he adores them. So I was like, you know what, I'm fine. And I didn't put the full court press on with
it was an oversight. Well, the least you could have done was just say, hey, you can't root for, I mean, North Carolina's out of the question.
Listen, it's a very valid point. It worked with Ben. Ben's a Duke fan. He doesn't care nearly as much, though.
Not like this. Well, no, he's not. This is.
There's a moment last night. There's a moment. Oh, it's unbelievable.
He's got the appropriate mix of, like, there's enough sherry. Like
Ben's very relaxed, cool. Like, you know, he plays baseball. Yesterday comes up, big spots. Nothing phases him, fine, right? But Alex is just the opposite. He's a walking time bomb. There was a moment last night during the game. We'll get to your calls in a second, by the way. 800-919-3776, where Ben is taunting Alex. And Alex is breaking down. He goes, 15-point lead, biggest lead, can't believe it. Ben goes, actually, it was 16 points, Alex. Don't forget it. It was 16 points. And Alex goes, I'm surprised you could figure that out since you got a C+ in math going right now.
Isn't it amazing, though, how easily that your kids can annoy each other? Like, they know exactly what buttons to push.
Oh, they're like an old married couple. It's amazing. All right, let's get to some of the calls, and then we'll hear from Hubert Davis and Bill Self. Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, DR Company, RJ Ray. I mean, I got roasted on Friday saying I was monotone and I'm a crappy caller, so I got a live
from the Bronx. Come on, please. He's so droll and so monotone.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
step your game up.
Oh, I got to step it up. I got to step it up. Really quick, I'm glad that Dave let his son, Alex, watch the game. The only reasons why he wasn't going to let him was selfish and petty and nonsensical, so I'm glad he turned the corner. I'm very proud of you, Dave. That's a good father move. But the game was phenomenal, and I think you got to look back at it. If you weren't going to let him watch the game and you really were going to be selfish and petty, at least you got to let him watch him lose so you could get some satisfaction in that.
I actually didn't get satisfaction, and I felt badly for him that it crumbled so quickly in front of his eyes. Like, had Carolina just come out, lost the game, you know, if Kansas had that 7-0 lead, because I don't know if you had this feeling, Rick. I was like, oh my God, they're going to do what they did to Villanova. They're just going to swarm them early. Carolina will never have the lead, but they fought right back. They got this huge lead. Kansas couldn't do anything late stages of the second half. To have it happen like that was worst case scenario. I think Kansas comes out, leads 7-0, pushes it to 10, maybe up to 15. Carolina never gets into the game. I don't think you're devastated today. The way it happened, I think you have to be devastated if you're a Carolina fan.
No, you absolutely do. I mean, you had the game won. I know there's two halves to every game, but I mean, you have a 15-point lead. One half of basketball to play, you feel pretty good about it.
And again, this is not, and I say this all the time when we're watching the games, and the boys are like, well, it's only a 17-point lead or 15-point lead. I'm like, they have 25 points. It's not like it's Golden State Phoenix where it's, you know, 81-72, and you're like, it's a 9-point lead. How can they come back from that? And three possessions later, it's a tie game. It's a 15-point game when the team that's trailing has 25 points halfway through.
Well, there's a reason why North Carolina is 161-0 when they have a 15-point lead at half. Like, you're right. You don't blow games like this. I mean, it's the largest comeback in the history of the title game.
Yes. Ever, ever, ever. That's a terrible, terrible loss. Let's hear from Bill Self and Hubert Davis and Armando Bacot. We'll go right through the list. Abaji, is that how you say his name?
Abaji.
All right, I think I have it now. Here's, and I don't, by the way, the question, are we kidding? Somebody asked Bill Self, is Abaji the best Kansas player ever, RJ? That was a question that was asked to him?
That was a question.
What the hell is going on? No?
Some bad questions. Yeah, it's not a great question.
Not Danny Manning. Joel Embiid.
Heat of the moment. Prisoner of the moment, Dave.
Oh, my. What a, and he wasn't even good. Abaji wasn't even good last night.
Don't yell at me. I didn't ask the question.
This question is, this guy should self-report. All right,
call him right now. See who it is. Let's call him.
I hope we can hear the question. What a disgusting question. Here it is. Is Abaji the best Kansas player ever?
No, he's not in Kansas basketball history. I can't say that. I think Danny was pretty good too, and he's second. He's the most accomplished player that we have had at our university since Danny. I mean, to think that 4 years, win a national championship, win the league, win the Big 12 tournament, NCAA tournament, to be a most outstanding player. We've never had anybody. We may have had some guys that had comparable years, but never had anybody cap it off like what he has other than D.
Okay, first of all, thank God he answered the question like that. Second of all, do you know who went to Kansas, by the way? Paul Pierce went to Kansas.
He was at the game.
A guy by the name of, I think you say Wilt Chamberlain went to Kansas. Betson Stennett.
An awful question.
I mean, what kind of a question is that?
He probably panicked.
What, they were like, all right, Steve, you go ahead. really? You think that's what, like well, how could you ask that question?
Hi, Coach Self. Mr. Abaji. I mean, I know it's not me.
Hi, Coach Self. It's me, Mr. Abaji here. Wait, I'm not Mr. Abaji.
No, that's not me.
About Mr. Abaji, am I the best? I mean, is he the best player ever to suit up for Kansas basketball?
Yeah, I can't. I can't tell you why someone asked that question. It seems like a ridiculous question.
Yeah, just awful. Well, here he is, the best player in the history of Kansas basketball. Is it Ochai Abaji? Is that how you say it?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, here he is on winning most outstanding player of the tournament.
I don't really care because we won the national championship, but if I really had a most outstanding player throughout the whole entire, you know, Final Four, it'd be David. He's been my guy. We got here, you know, at the same time, and these goals and these dreams, you know, that we're living right now, we never would have thought of when we first set foot on campus, but now living it and, you know, living it with him and leaving here with history in our name, it just means so much to the both of us and obviously Mitch and all the guys here. So
now hang on a second. That's the most outstanding player of the Final Four, right?
Yeah.
Now, he was awesome in the semifinal game. He was terrible last night.
He wasn't great, no. Not great.
I don't understand. How did he win most outstanding player? I thought McCormick was better.
Yeah, McCormick wasn't as good last night. I mean, he hit the big shot up over Manek, but, I mean, for my money, and I know UNC didn't win, what Bacot did.
Yeah, but they don't do that. They don't.
No, I understand that. But I mean, that kid's a warrior, man.
He really plays, and he's good around the rim, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he just enjoys the physicality, man. And he welcomes it.
Agbaji had 12 points last night, was 1 of 4 from three, and I think that was the first shot of the game.
And 3 of 8 from the free throw line.
3 of 8 from the line, and he goes home with the most outstanding player.
How could you imagine? Hold on 1 second. We didn't even talk about this.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Love ends up hitting that shot after Kansas has the game iced and then they step out of bounds?
What kind of play is that?
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Ugh.
Right up the sideline?
Like, what are we doing?
Awful. I mean, really, just awful. But you know what? Also, how good was this tournament?
That was a great tournament. It really was.
The whole way through, the games were incredible. You had Cinderella of all Cinderellas and a local Cinderella in St. Peter's.
Yep.
And then at the end, you got the biggest, best teams that college basketball has to offer.
Yeah, I mean, I did. The Kansas-Villanova game wasn't great.
No, it wasn't good at all.
But the fact that you had UNC-Duke made up for it.
It was a great game. And then this championship game turned out to be a phenomenal game as well.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have high... Listen, it's the national championship game. I get it. But, I mean, the game everyone was looking forward to was the North Carolina-Duke game.
Which lived up to the billing every day of the week.
Yeah, it was a great game. And then to have this, the way it unfolded, that second half, them to come back.
It was a special game last night.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I'm getting some information, Rick, about what happened in RJ's home last night. Apparently, they have like a break glass in case of emergency if a game winds up getting that close. I guess his new bride, Ange, stayed up to watch the game like a good teammate would. And
that's a woman.
There, right? And she's sitting there thinking to herself, do I wake him now? No, no, not yet. Do I wake him now? And with like 2 minutes to go, she decides, you know what? I'm going to break glass. She wakes him up. He watches the final 2 minutes of the game. That's a marriage that is going to stand the test of time. This is a beautiful marriage.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that, though. I like the fact they have a sports safe word where, I mean, when push comes to shove, game is close, wake him up. But, I mean, is RJ that invested? He needs to be, I mean, the guy gets up at 2 a.m. Like,
yes.
No. Yeah, but it's a moment. I feel like I need to be a part of it.
What a terrible
just
take
DVR
by
it. Why don't you just DVR it?
No, it's not the same when you watch it. I'll watch it when I'm trying to get ready, but I'm like on like 4X or 8X or whatever the fastest the DVR will allow me to go. But it's, you know, it's a moment. It's like it's a communal thing, you know?
You want to watch the end of the game. That's a big game. I mean, you said it yourself numerous times. That's the biggest comeback at halftime, you know, in the finals game ever.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Dave. For me and you, who are multiple times to go to the bathroom at night, RJ doesn't wake up. RJ goes right through. He's sound asleep. You look over and you see this tiny little nugget fast asleep.
Do you think she was like tapping part of the bed and he's like, wake up? And she's like, wait, that's not RJ. Like, that's a pillow. Like, no, that's not RJ either. Like, do you think it took her? Maybe she tried to wake him with 5 minutes to go. And by the time she found him in the bed, it was like 90 seconds left.
Yeah, you can't find him. A little nugget.
It's a good thing that the under 4 timeout saved me.
They're playing asleep. Marco Polo. She can't find him.
In a twin-size bed.
He stands right with Marco Polo. He stands right in front of you, and she still can never get him. He screams it. Polo! Polo's right here!
Yeah, Hinky Haynes, by the way, too. He's such, I mean, he is Debbie
Downer. What a terrible take.
What an awful take.
He's usually good, though. This is a bad take by him.
Well, that's who he is. I mean, he's Debbie Downer is what it is.
The game last night wasn't great. It was a tale of two halves, and it was a letdown after the incredible Duke Carolina game. Reminds me of a disappointing Super Bowl after an incredible conference championship weekend. No, that is a horrible, awful.
No, I'll tell you what it reminds you of. I'll tell you exactly what it reminds you of. The Atlanta Falcons Patriots Super Bowl. Patriots are getting their teeth kicked in.
Is it that bad of a collapse?
That's a pretty bad. I mean, I gave you the numbers, dude.
No, I know. I'm just like do you look at that as the equivalent of up 28-3 in the second half in football?
Well, no, but you're talking about having, I mean, to his point, it's a tale of two halves. Okay, well, the first half, the Patriots are getting themselves, they're getting killed. Everyone thinks the game's over, and then all of a sudden, second half, it's a completely different story. So, yeah, it's a tale of two halves, but you're also talking about something we haven't seen before. It's the largest comeback in the history of the title game.
Yeah, and stop it. It wasn't a great game. It was a great game. Kansas goes on this monster run. They take the lead. They take a six-point lead. Carolina fights back. Kansas takes the lead again. Carolina fights back. Carolina has the lead with 90 seconds to go. Then Kansas scores. Then Baycott rolls his ankle and has to come out of the game. You got a guy vomiting on the court, then hurling in a garbage can over on the side. Right? Kansas hits the shot. Then they turn it over. There's high drama. You have moments at the end where there's a break where you can actually digest how great it is. To have the take that this wasn't a great game is just, it's a terrible take.
Yeah, I don't love his take at all. And I usually love Hinkie Hands because he takes shots at you now, which I like. I appreciate that.
Well, that's fine.
I mean, you're talking about 400 and like, I'm giving you 460 examples of this happening and only 8 times before this. Had a team come back.
It's a brutal loss. So does it, here's what I'll ask you. Does it take some of the greatness away from the win against Duke? I think it does.
I think it gives Duke fans some ammunition to come back at you with.
Yes. I think the Duke fan, I don't know if we're going to talk to Jay Williams or which one of the three it'll be.
They didn't even cover for him. I mean, that's the one thing he said. They better, Kansas better cover.
And they did not cover.
No. They did not cover.
And they would have. They could have covered if that guy didn't step out of bounds.
I still can't believe that happened.
How do you step out of bounds?
How do you
run a play where it uses the sideline as an extra defender?
I can only imagine, too, in that moment. It's just Ben, just all over Alex. Game's over. Could you imagine if somehow Love hits that three to tie it up? Alex would have went missing. He would have jumped through a window. Was so excited.
Well, so he had already like kind of left the room and was standing on the side. And you just heard like, and I turned to Ben. I was like, all right, enough. Like, take it easy on him. Like, and so he's standing next to me as they're inbounding it, and these little groans of, right, and then they turn it over and you hear like, ooh.
Uh-oh.
And he was, like, back invested, and then they missed the three, and then he goes, you know, running off, and, yeah, it was bad. But, no, I couldn't have imagined it, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God. Because how many times have you seen that, where a team makes a mistake like that, and all of a sudden the other team has a chance, and they somehow hit one of these miraculous shots?
That doesn't happen very often. I mean, it doesn't happen. I mean, that's his – but like, this is why I mean, college basketball.
This is why we love sports.
Well, not even just sports. I mean, just college basketball. I mean, when you start watching, you know, we're still talking about – you know, they're still kids. Like, this is still like they're like in big moments. I mean, it's interesting to see how they react. And that was a big moment, and it did not, it was not a well executed play.
No. But what I don't understand, we'll hear from Hubert Davis and Baycott in a second. And of course, 800-919-3776 for your calls on the championship game. We'll get into baseball in a couple minutes. Is why would you design a play
that close to the sideline?
The sideline is like an extra defender.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Terrible. All right. So Hubert Davis, first, he was attempting to become the first coach in his first year, full season, because Steve Fisher did it back in 89 with Michigan over Seton Hall. But he was, I think he started the job in the tournament, and he just went on that magical run. But this was attempting to be the first coach ever to have the job for the entire year one, and win the national championship. Here is Hubert Davis, proud of his team, despite what was a brutal loss last night.
I can't remember a time in my life where I should be disappointed, but I'm just filled with so much pride. I'm so proud of these guys, of what they have done for themselves individually as a team, the way that they have represented our university, this program, our community. I can't ask for them to do any more than what they have done, and I am extremely proud of each one of them.
All right. So, yeah, fine. But give me a break. I can't ask for them to do more. Yeah, you could ask for them to close out a 15-point lead and win the national championship.
Yeah, but no. See, listen. he said what he should have said as far as the players are concerned. I mean, to say though that you're just, you know, full of pride and not disappointed, that loss will haunt you forever.
That never goes away.
Now, never.
You're Carolina. So odds are within the next 3, 4, 5 years, you're going to be right back in this situation. But if that's a team that never gets to be in that situation, I mean, that loss regardless is devastating. Could you imagine if that was like a team that never gets it? Could you imagine if that was the Jets?
No, absolutely not. No, I wouldn't be on the show today if that was the Jets. I'd be in hiding.
Oh, please. You'd be on the show.
No, I would not be on the show because I would have watched all that. I mean, the entire game to the finish of it. And then I would have been inconsolable, and I don't know where I'd be right now. I couldn't come on because you would taunt me, because you have no restraint.
See, I don't think you're right. I realized in the heat of the moment last night, like that, it's enough, like we have to stop.
But he's
like,
an 11-year-old. I'm not. I mean, you would come on the show and you pretend like you're going to be nice, and then you take jabs at me the whole show until I broke down and cried on air. And then you'd laugh about it.
You know why I think I might do that is because you're very nasty to me. Like, you make sure at the drop of a hat that you get all your digs in on me, and it's not nice.
I'm very nice to you.
Maybe if you set the tone, maybe if you were a better leader of the show, maybe then it would happen that we would have a better back-and-forth relationship, and I wouldn't have to take the rejabs at you.
Because that's what people want to hear is me and you just being nice to each other every minute of every show.
I think that would be nice.
No, it would not be nice. It would be boring. And you deserve it. I only jab you when you deserve it.
Who the hell are you?
What am I supposed to do? Just ignore the fact that Dave Gettleman single-handedly tried to ruin the Giants? I'm just supposed to, no big deal. Nothing to see here.
No. I don't think you should not mention it, but you take great solace in it. You take great enjoyment in it, and you make sure to point it out anytime you can. Like these little backhanded, snide remarks that you know are going to get me upset.
Yeah, but listen to what you just said. Could you imagine if that was the Jets? Because it's you're all high and mighty Giants.
I've seen four.
Well, exactly. See, and here it is. And there it is. Can't help yourself.
Am I? What? It's factual. I've seen four. You've seen none.
Hey, that's right. Yeah, you're right. I've seen none, all right?
You've seen none. You've never seen your team in the game to try to win the whole thing.
And you
I have a big one.
No, you don't.
Okay. See, there you go.
No, so you just set the tone. You're talking about me set the tone. You just set the tone. You want to get feisty on a Tuesday? I'll get feisty on a Tuesday.
I'm in a great mood. I'm not looking to get feisty. I'm looking to get out of the show, take a nap, start my day, do what I do. Thank you for being a friend. Yeah, be a friend. Why
can't
we
also highlight? Can we also highlight for 1 second? I know we've mentioned him a bunch of different times. Just so, some troubling news yesterday in the group chat. By the way, very troubling.
Oh, John Winthrop.
Oh my good God.
John Winthrop again. He's like third in charge at the station. By the way,
this
is not some guy that's cleaning up. You know. Poop in the corner at the station. He's third in charge. It goes our GM and then our program director, who everyone knows of, and that's Ryan Hurley, and then John Winthrop. And John Winthrop, for some reason, thinks it's a great idea to tell us all that this is not plastic plates or paper plates that, you know, are disposable and are adorable for the kids to have, like, their mac and cheese on. His good china that he uses for dinner parties is Mickey Mouse themed.
Mickey style.
Dinner and dessert plates.
I mean, and then...
And sends us a picture of it.
Why he told us about it is beyond me. And then sends a picture to the group chat with pride of, no, these are classy Mickey Mouse style plates. I mean, I don't know.
You know what I mean? You know.
Oh, there's some weird stuff going on in that house.
No? Mickey style.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And here's what I'll say. Even if he's some kind of a deranged weirdo, which is clearly obvious as the day is long, his wife allows for their fine diningware to have Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse all over.
Well, she encourages it. I mean, what do you think? This is just him going rogue?
I don't know.
This is a group effort.
It's pathetic. When I saw those,
heard him. What did he say? The last 15 years, the only vacations he's gone on is to Disney.
Am I wrong? It's pathetic. No,
It's his thing, man.
And he's a great guy. Like, he's one of my favorite people at the stations. But I think you have to realize that every time he tells you something, like, if you ask him for advice, like, John, do you think we should do this or this or that? Like, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. Why? Because he's a weirdo. No?
Yeah, I don't know how, like, you have these, like, serious phone calls. That's all I could think about.
Could you imagine that? Like, John, do you think we lead the show with this or this? And he tells you, like, well, how can I take this seriously? The guy eats off Mickey Mouse's face every night.
Mickey style.
Can you imagine you just meet him, you're becoming friends. He's like, listen, we'd love to have you and your wife over for a nice dinner on Saturday. Great. You go over there and they serve it on that.
Yeah, but you don't even know either. Like, you have no idea because the food's on the plate, and then all of a sudden you finish. You're like, what the hell?
You go to the bathroom, the hand towels are like, you know, Pluto and Goofy.
Of course. They have to be. I mean, if your dinnerware is Mickey and Minnie, like, they, like, the whole house.
Do you think, like, was John a loser? I never thought of John as a loser as a kid or growing up, but maybe I misjudged him.
No, I mean, he's a guy. He's right up your alley. I mean, you guys do all the fantasy sports together and everything else. He knows football. He thinks he's an NFL insider.
Oh, he thinks he's the best.
The best ever, though, was when we had it was the first time I ever went out with him. We had some, like, whatever, like, company get-together. I don't know what it was. And we sit down, and they come over, and they're taking drink orders, and someone was like, yeah, I'll have a beer. Someone got, like, an old...
What did he order?
He goes, I'll have a chocolate martini, please.
A Mickey Mouse glass, that would be. You could pour that right into there. And I want the extra, too. When you come over and pour it, I want you to leave the little container.
And then he crushes it, and then has another one. I was like, what are you? One's fine, isn't he? He's like, oh, no. I'm going for two.
Did he have his pinky out when he was drinking it?
Oh, he's...
Martinis! He's
too much. Yeah, I don't know, man. That struck me as really uncomfortable.
Well, he wants you to know. See, that's the thing. He wants you to know. Like, there's no reason to tell us that. Like, he's like, fun fact... For who? Fun fact. What, for us that we get to now use this to make fun of you?
I mean, do you think you think that was like they registered for that? For their
wedding? I think they probably bought that. They might have bought that while they were down there.
Oh God,
I don't know.
It's pathetic. I feel sorry for him.
No, don't feel sorry. I mean, he loves it. This is, I mean, why else? If you didn't love it, why would you bring it up? Because, like, if you had some weird, like, weird fetish thing that you didn't want anyone to know about, you just keep it to yourself.
Sure, but that's what he should have done. Like, him having that plateware in the house, fine. Him telling all of us that he does that and that's what he has, it's very weird.
Yeah, you could see, like, too, he's, like, at the office, he's all, like, he's got the, you know, like, the nice outfit because he's got to be professional. And the second he walks out, he just rips open it. Just,
yeah,
Mickey
he
t-shirt.
Might get wild. He might just get
puts
wild.
The ears on.
Crazy. All right. Let's hear from Armando Bacot. I felt bad for him, by the way. Huh?
That was the play of the game, really, when he went down and got hurt.
I mean, he rolled the same ankle.
Oh. Again, and then he get why? By the way, too, he's down. He's down.
Why does Kansas just stop the game?
Was it sportsmanship? What are they doing?
No, I think that they were like, there's 45 seconds left. We can take 30 seconds off. This is what we're just going to do. Why? So, I mean, they don't have their best rebounder, and you decide in that moment on a 5-on-4, no, we'll pull it out here?
Yeah, we'll just hang out until he can limp all the way back down.
And then he limps back down into the play, and then they stop the play. That was terrible.
Yeah, I thought that was strange.
There were a lot of those moments, weren't there? Last night of like, oh, no, what are you doing? What's happening?
Yep.
Yep, they were. All right, so he re-injured. He never came back, right, after he hurt the ankle the second time?
No, that was it.
Yeah, that was it for him. Here is Bacot on the ankle injury and how he was able to get ready to play in the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, the last 24 hours, probably 15 of them, it was me just trying to, you know, get my ankle better. And Doug Halverson and Jonas Serration, they did a great job of just preparing me for this moment. I mean, right before the game, I really couldn't even jump. And then that's why I kind of went back. And we just kept trying to take a crack at it, and they didn't give up. And luckily, I mean, I was able to play 38 minutes.
He was great. He really was. To play 38 minutes on a bum ankle. And he was a huge difference, too. Yes. He was great around the rim in that first half.
Carolina dominated them.
Killed them on the glass.
And
Carolina, they only really play five. They'll go six occasionally. And once in a blue moon, they'll go to seven guys. That's it. That's all they play. And those guys got it through.
I mean, that's it. I mean, they only played, I mean, Puff played 18. And
Garcia plays a very little bit.
I still cannot believe that they lost. I really can't.
With a 15-point lead at
that? Yeah, I don't know how I would. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. Like, I know we talk about this all the time, and I think you respect this about me, is you ask me about different things, and I have a hard time remembering, like, all the good stuff, but I, like, vividly remember all the bad stuff.
Yep.
But it's like that loss at BU where four overtimes, chance to go to the final, to the Frozen Four, and we lost, is like that. It sticks with me. I can, like, if I close my eyes and you brought up the moment, I'm in the locker room, I'm seeing guys crying. Like, I remember every single piece of it. And that's a game to get to the Frozen Four. This is the national championship game. You have a 15-point lead. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're saying, okay, let's keep this going, boys. One half, we're national championship.
Away.
That's it.
Well, 8-seed. And you know what? You know what that would have been then? One of the great runs in the history of sports.
And
no one thought
you
had a chance. You have this incredible win where you blew the game against Baylor and win it. You beat St. Peter's. You beat Duke. And this wasn't even a normal win over Duke. And then you beat Kansas. You're a champion. Hubert Davis, first ever season at the helm. And that happens. That is, from right there on the precipice of greatness to having it ripped away. By the way, you said, what do you think Jay Williams is like? Did you see the tweet he just sent out?
I'm sure all he does is clog up my Twitter anyway.
Well, he says, me walking into my office this morning after watching the Heels lose to Kansas, and he has just guys literally dancing, like a group of men dancing and enjoying the day and enjoying the moment.
And he wants all the smoke today.
You know what? I think if you're a Duke fan, as disgusted and disappointed and heartbroken as you were on Saturday, last night takes a lot of the sting out of it. I really do.
Yeah, what you've done now is you've given the Duke fan now some, at least a little something.
Yes, the Duke fan, little taste.
A little taste, just
Little taste. By the way, what do you think, Greeny's whole take? And all of a sudden, Kay yesterday is kind of agreeing with him. You think the Duke-Carolina rivalry is kind of dead here?
No, it's not dead. I mean, it's going to be tough, right? I mean, that's the fact that Duke ended... That Duke season was ended. Coach K's career was ended in the Final Four by North Carolina. Cameron,
but you know
North Carolina. But now
the first time they play next season, and it's a whole new cast of characters. And Duke has a new team, and Carolina has a new team, and it's all different.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter though. But you have the trump card though. Like that win trumps anything.
Yes, but you didn't win. You won championship.
Which is the little taste now that Duke. Oh yeah, you're talking about the year where you played Kansas in the national championship
right,
game,
and you mean the biggest loss in the history of a championship game? That loss that you had following the win against us,
where you guys pulled a Don LaGreca in Calgary in the second half.
Yep.
Right, your pants.
Right in the pants, and then you just go on,
and then you battle through it.
You battle through. Well, yeah. Well, what choice did he have? It's there. You might as well finish the game. Right?
Don doing the game with a shirt and tie, sport coat, and Calgary Flame pajama pants.
Oh my god!
From the pro shop.
What a treat.
The team store.
Harass them.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.